Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network on this Dr. Martin Luther King Day celebration of one extraordinary life. Since his assassination in 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King has gone from being an ordinary man fighting for civil rights to a man who has become as synonymous with the American story as the Founding Fathers. His message of love and justice went far beyond I Have a Dream. His words rang out from behind bars in Birmingham, segregated lunch counters, protests of anti-war demonstrators and anti-union worker picket lines from the back of the bus to the front steps of our schools, from our nation's capital to our own hearts and minds. Today, as we honor Dr. King by showcasing how his work and idealism lives on generation after generation, we are delighted to have with us in our studio three Milwaukee Public Schools students, all of whom were winners of the annual Dr. King Writing Contest for their essays about the civil rights leader. And they have presented their essays. It was an arts competition, a speech writing competition, and a writing competition. Over 5,000 students participated in this. The 33rd annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday celebration was yesterday at the Marcus Performing Arts Center, and the theme was We Shall Overcome. Milwaukee is one of only three cities in the country, Atlanta and Milwaukee, and actually only two cities that have been doing an event like this during the month of January on the date of his birth. The celebration programming highlights the youth in our local community, and we have three of them. We're proud to introduce them and to hear their words that were submitted in the competition, and they are all winners. We'll also speak with the coordinator of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Writing Contest, and she's been doing this since 1981. Quintisha Hart is with us. Quintisha is in 11th grade at Riverside University High School. Thank you, Quintisha, very much for being with us. Hello.
Hello.
We'll look forward to hearing your writing, an excerpt from it in just one moment. Also joining us is Isra El Shakra, who is in grade 8 at Victory School. Isra, thank you so much for being with us. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, thank you for coming to the studio. And Sandra Parks is here. Sandra is in 6th grade at Keefe Avenue School in Milwaukee. Sandra, thank you so much for being with us. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, and also joining us is Danelle Johnson, who, as I said, has coordinated this writing contest since 1981. That was a while ago, Danelle. What got you started on this?
Well, I haven't been coordinating it that long, but I've been involved in it. I was part of a group of educators and active people in the city of Milwaukee who felt it was important to promote the need for a public, for a national holiday. There was no national holiday honoring King at that time. We also thought that this would also be a good way to foster writing skills in all children K through 12 and to make sure that children know about Dr. King's ideals and the belief in nonviolence, violent protest. So it's been going on that long, and this was the 34th annual writing contest. We've been doing that before there was a citywide celebration, and also we stay at the table so that children are highlighted at the celebration.
Mm-hmm. And you've had thousands of, imagine how many students have participated over the years, a huge number.
We've had up to 7,500. This year we had a little over 3,500, and we do that in spite of the fact that the testing window is going on in the public schools at the same time.
Oh.
So, you know, we're competing with that, but when you hear these wonderful children, you'll know why it's important. It mm-hmm. is important.
Mm-hmm. Before we hear some of your speeches, tell me about how you learn about Dr. Martin Luther King. Were you aware of him and his life from a very young age, Quintisha?
Yeah, in my hometown, we had our own version of a King writing contest, and I won that in like 5th grade. So I knew who he was and how important he was to the civil rights movement and how black people are in this country.
Mm-hmm. And do you learn about him quite a bit in school? Is he a big part of what you study or have studied?
Well, not yet. I'll learn more about him in my U.S. history class next semester. Now we're like still in like the 1800s, but I learned a lot about him. Even in English class, my English teacher, Miss Jackson, we read his letter from the Birmingham jail.
Yes.
Yeah, I really liked that one. I liked how he called out the was it pastors? I like how he was like, you're Christians, but you don't want to help black people. And that's kind of one of your morals, is to help everybody and love everybody, but you're not really doing it.
Mm-hmm. He was one, we were commenting, and every time I hear some of his speeches, you just get chills. He was an incredible orator, wasn't he? I mean, one of the best ever, I think. He could speak so that you could feel it, you know, from the top of your head down to your toes.
Yeah. I also like how thorough he was. Like, the letter wasn't like one page. It was pages and pages.
Yes.
He didn't just address one thing. It was long and thorough, and it really, like, helped me understand him better.
Mm-hmm. Israel, when did you become aware of Dr. King?
Well, ever since we were in, like, first grade, we would always do projects in Black History Month, and the thing that helped me the most was last year in seventh grade. We did mosaics on African-American heroes, and we had to write a small paper about them, and I had Maya Angelou.
Oh. Yeah. Mm. She's a wonderful person to write about.
Yeah.
I have to tell you a story about her. We interviewed her a couple times, and she was just so incredibly gracious, and we were talking about her grandmother. She wrote a book about her grandmother, who was very important in her life. And this young woman called, who was about to get married, and her mother had died recently, and her grandmother was going to be giving her away and was very important and had raised her. And Maya said, can you just put that young woman on hold? And so we put her on hold, and after the show, she talked to her to get her address to send her a wedding present. She was getting married. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what a wonderful thing for somebody to do. I'll always remember that about her. Yeah.
Yeah, she was sweet. She met Martin Luther King, too.
Yeah. And Sandra, how about you? When did you hear about Dr. King?
I heard about him in the early ages of when I was like in first grade. I like kind of did coloring books about him.
Oh, you did?
And learned a little bit about his I Had a Dream speech.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, we're going to hear part of your writing that you did in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I'd like, we'll start with the 11th grader and then go to the 6th grader. Quintisha, tell me about why you decided to write about what you wrote about. The theme was We Shall Overcome this year. So you had, that's a huge category. How did you decide what you're going to focus on?
Well, my teacher, Ms. Jackson, she's very critical of how we write. And everybody in my class was like, well, let's do racism or Black Lives Matter, police brutality. I'm like, those are topics we hear about every day. And though they're important, like, there's other people that are having problems in this country. And my best friend is a Muslim, and at Riverside we have a big population of Muslims, so I thought maybe we should give them a chance to, like, somebody to talk about them.
Will you read a portion of what you wrote, please?
Yeah.
Move real close to the microphone. Great, thanks.
The United States has a long and brutal history of racism and discrimination, and while we have come a long way, it is still present today. Imagine hearing your name over the announcement of a flight with the message you will be watched and then being kicked off the plane. Imagine being a 14-year-old designing a project for your teachers and then being arrested an hour later because it was perceived as a bomb. Imagine you are working and then being beaten because someone assumed you were a Muslim. As a young Black woman, I understand how it feels to be discriminated against. The dirty looks, the insults, and the fear of being attacked are all too familiar to me. I feel it is my civic duty to speak out against discrimination and racism. Now, it's time for a solution. The best way I can think of is to imitate the steps of the civil rights movement. First, we must acknowledge that Islamophobia exists and stems from hatred. Then we must report incidents of this as hate crimes. We need to understand the effects racism and discrimination has on people. Slavery, segregation, and the mistreatment of Black people have left Black people angry and bitter in America. So we should ask ourselves, do we want to do the same to Muslims?
Mm. When you said you feel you have to speak out, have you felt a need to have to speak out? And what form does that take, if you've had to, or do you anticipate having to speak out?
I've never experienced, like, someone actually being upfront, like, discriminated against Muslim or tan, like, insults or being rude to them. But I feel like there will be a time, and I feel like I should say something. Mm-hmm. But there has been times when a white person has said something rude to me, and someone has spoken up for me, and I feel like it's... So that should be what everyone should do.
How do you respond when somebody says something rude to you?
Well, when I was younger, I used to want to cry. But now I'm older, and it's just like I understand, like, they're ignorant, and I shouldn't listen to them because I know who I am, and I'm comfortable with who I am.
It's good. It's a good way to be in life, comfortable with who you are. Isra, you are in eighth grade now. We Shall Overcome. What did you decide to write about?
I decided to write about the same thing she did, about how discrimination is going around for Muslims. Yeah, and like stereotypes, basically, like how people view people. If you're once people figure out I'm Muslim, a lot of times they think I'm a terrorist. They'll try to like walk away from me, not try to get involved with me, and not know like my insights or anything, and just base it off of one thing. So I decided to acknowledge that and write about that.
Mm-hmm. So the very discrimination that Quintisha was talking about, you've experienced.
Yes, I have.
Read us what you wrote, part of it.
When I was in sixth grade, I was asked a question that drained the innocence out of me. I was entered into an argument with an acquaintance in my class. His words absolutely stunned me. He said, and I quote, "What are you going to do about it? Throw an Islamic bomb at me?" I didn't know how to respond. My brain went on overdrive and my nostrils flared. I just stayed stoic and walked home, my mind not thinking straight. Many people believe that stereotypes are too broad to fix. However, what they aren't putting into consideration is that we, the people, started stereotypes. Therefore, we should be able to put an end to them. A way we can do this is by educating each other. A program called Judgment Comes to an End can be created. This program will be people with specific insights on specific subjects sharing what they think. After sharing, they will be taught about how other people think and the reason behind their thinking. Stereotypes are a disgrace to our society, and we need to put an end to them. Segregation ties into stereotypes in a variety of ways, such as both issues judging and separating people. Martin Luther King Jr. went through an extreme amount of pain in order to give us equality and have the world view each other with open minds. This is how we're treating our freedom. It's a shame. I have a dream, King said. But will his dream ever be obtained? That's up to us.
Mm. What about the idea of having that kind of group? What about starting a group like that? Or maybe you did already.
No, but like a lot of times in class when we would talk about like, when we would have discussions about politics or something like that, I would bring it up, like try to like say, because a lot of time people are focusing on one problem and just one problem that's harming themselves. And I'm the only Muslim in my class, so I feel like no one really focuses on that. So I try to bring it up sometimes, but it doesn't really get, you know, it's not really there. Not many people are, like, experiencing it. Some people just, like, say something, like, sneaky or, like, say something bad about it. And it just amazes me how ignorant they are or how uneducated and how they're viewing the world. Like, you know, you're viewing it over one thing, not digging deeper into it to see what's true and what's not true. Mm.
Do you feel comfortable, though, in your school? Do you feel comfortable with your classmates?
Yeah, of course.
So there are just a few who may not be very accepting of you.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you need to explain yourself and talk about who you are and what your faith is or not?
No, I feel like if you want to just cut me off just for that, I don't, like, I'm not going to try with you if you're going to be like that. I'm not going to come and try to explain myself because I don't owe you an explanation. It should be the other way around.
Mm. And our third student, again, another winner of the Martin Luther King competition, Sandra Parks. She is in sixth grade at Keefe Avenue School. Sandra, We Shall Overcome. What did you center on?
I centered on our truth because the truth is like that, well, I really don't know how to put it, but in my own words, it will be really violent because the world that we have become now is like that. All you hear about is somebody dying and somebody getting shot, like, and people do not just think about, like, who father or son or granddaughter or grandson that was that you just killed.
Mm-hmm. Will you read as part of your essay, please?
We Shall Overcome has been a lost in lies of who we are, who we have become. We need to rewrite our story so that faith and hope for a better tomorrow is not only within us, but we believe it and we put it into action. Our first truth is that we must start caring about each other. We need to be empathetic and try to walk in other people's shoes. We shall overcome when we begin to understand and accept others. We shall overcome when we eliminate the negative and nasty comments people make about each other. We shall overcome when we love each other and people around us.
I think that point is so wonderful, and it bears saying over and over again that we need to have empathy, that we need to examine and think about what it's like to walk in another person's shoes. How do we do that? I mean, how do we do that at school? How do we do that in our lives?
Well, if you, like, say somebody's being bullied about their clothes or, like, what they wear or if they're, like, or their sexuality, but just imagine if you were in the same experience or the same place or what he or she was going through and you couldn't do nothing about it but cry or, like, have violent thoughts or have suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm. All of you are going to be taking over the reins of power, you know, in not that long a time. Believe me, it goes by in a hurry, the whole thing. Do you look forward to it? Do you look forward to your generation doing better things, doing big things? Do you look forward to doing big things in your lives, Quintisha?
I plan on doing it. I used to be a very quiet and passive person, but as of recently, like, I learned, like, that gets you nowhere. Like Dr. King himself, if he would have stayed quiet, who knows, we might still be... I might still have to go to the back of the bus or something like that. So I do, when I go to college, I want to start groups and clubs and be on the journalism team. So
great.
So I can put myself out there and let my thoughts be out there. And I also, me and my mom was talking about it last night after the event yesterday that I should start like a blog. Because she didn't really read my essay like that, but she asked my thoughts on, like, Dr. King and all of his messages, and she thought, like, I opened her eyes, and she made her think a different way.
Hmm. Isra, what are you going to do when you take over?
I agree with Quintisha, but what I think is something easier or, like, more in my power is to start with my friends, start with people I know, and once it gets to one person, it'll get to the other. You know, cause it's going to be pretty hard to just go in, out in the open and just say your thoughts. So if you convince one person at a time, that person's going to go to another person. It'll just spread around.
Sandra, how about you?
When I, like, take over, I would like to, like, stop all the violence and negativity that's going on in the world and stop all the black-on-black crimes and all the rumors and stereotypes that's been spread around.
And thank you all so much. We're going to end with words of encouragement from Dr. Martin Luther King, actually, who said this at the St. Luke's Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, in 1963. Thank you all very much, and here's to your lives.
These young people are about their father's business, and they are carving a tunnel of hope through the great mountain of despair. And they will bring to this nation a newness and a genuine quality and an idealism that it so desperately needs. Keep this movement going. Keep this movement rolling. In spite of the difficulties, and we're going to have a few more difficulties, keep climbing. Keep moving. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl, but by all means, keep moving.
Dr. Martin Luther King in 1963. Thanks to all of the winners from the Dr. Martin Luther King Writing Contest for joining us. Congratulations to them. News is coming up from NPR, and then Clarence Page for All Things Political.